This is the Jewish News Podcast in association with Genesis Philanthropy Group, supporting Jewish communities worldwide. I'm Michael Daventry, and coming up on this programme... Poland sacks the man it appointed to improve its relationship with Jews around the world because he criticised Polish policy in an interview with the Jewish News. We gather reaction to Jarosław Marek Nowak's dismissal and ask what now for Poland's relationship with world Jewry. 5 months ago, I introduced episode 63 of the Jewish News podcast with the words, "We need to talk about Poland." The reason, I said, was because new laws and court cases in the country were challenging what most of us outside of the country consider to be historical fact. Poland has a right-wing nationalist government, and supporters of that administration are on the offensive. They reject any suggestion that today's Poland should recognise what happened to Holocaust victims, Jews and others, within the borders of the Polish state during and after the Second World War. Their argument is that there can be no question of recognition, restitution or compensation for the property of Jews and others that were seized. What's more, the Polish government and its supporters are aggressively pursuing anyone who points out some Polish people collaborated with the Nazis in carrying out the Holocaust. Their view is that Poland was under occupation, first by Nazi Germany, then by Soviet Russia, and it was not responsible at all for what happened. This episode of the Jewish News podcast won't go back over the points we made back in August, although I would encourage you to go back and listen to episode 63, particularly the interview with history professor Jan Grabowski. He told us about how he was ordered by a Polish court to apologise to the niece of a village elder who he named in his book as a Nazi collaborator. It was just one example of how ideological fervour is being held above meticulous historical research. The reason we're discussing Poland in this episode is because it looked like everything I've just said to you was improving until last week. You see, Poland had appointed a diplomat called Jarosław Marek Nowak, whose job was to improve his country's relations with Jews everywhere. It was a serious position. He travelled to many countries to speak to Jewish leaders and to listen. The view from many of the people he did meet was that he really did listen and understand. In an interview with the Jewish News published last week, Jarosław Nowak was outspoken, saying things we haven't heard from a Polish official for years. That case of the historian taken to court for saying a village elder collaborated with the Nazis, Mr. Nowak said the law that allowed it was one of the stupidest amendments ever seen by law. There was cautious optimism then that Poland's government genuinely wanted to tackle the difficult issues facing its relationship with Jews and with Israel, and that this was the man to do it. But last Saturday, Jarosław Nowak was fired, suddenly, after just 6 months into the job. It was the day after his interview with the Jewish News was published.
I'm Karol Darmoros. I'm a reporter for the Polish radio, which is a public radio for Poland.
This Polish journalist explains how a story in the Jewish News set social media in Poland alight.
On Monday morning, when I got up and looked through Twitter, I've seen the article and the quotes of Mr. Nowak, and people who commented it were, it was a negative, many negative comments, because it gained many comments from the right side of our political scene. So Twitter commentators in Poland, it gained big attention from the right side, because Mr. Nowak said what is not in line with the government policy.
And Jarosław Nowak wasn't the only Polish diplomat to be fired that week. Poland's ambassador to the Czech Republic was also recalled for comments he made contradicting his own government's policies.
We have a big argument with the Czech Republic regarding the Turów mine, which is a coal mine that Czech said it negatively affects the environment on the Czech side, because the mine is very close to the Czech and German border. And the issue went to the European Court of Justice, which said that Poland has to immediately stop mining there. and it was rejected by the government. And then the European Court of Justice imposed a daily fine of, I think it was 500,000 euros per day for not stopping the mine. And the ambassador said that it all started because the Polish side was not so responsive for Czech arguments and their opinions, which was not so common opinion in the government side.
So, the headline is that Poland has fired the very man it appointed to improve its relations with the Jewish community. It did it because that envoy criticised Polish government policy, and it did it only 6 months after giving him the job. Was there any progress in those 6 months? I spoke to Sebastian Rejak, the acting director of the American Jewish Committee in Central Europe, and began by asking him how he responded to the news that Poland was going to appoint an envoy to try and improve its relations with Jews in the first place.
That was back in July, early July last year, and I was really very happy because I had known Mr. Jaroslav Nowak for more than 10 years, going back to the times when he was a close collaborator and an aide to the then mayor of Łódź in central Poland, and they were doing really fantastic things when it comes to relations with the Jewish community, the cooperation with Israel. So I've known him for quite some time, and I thought he was just a perfect fit for that position.
Mm. And how do you think he was doing the role in the 6 months that he did it? I know that you spoke to him very recently, but I'm more interested in events before then. You must have been meeting, there must have been events. What kind of things did you end up doing together?
Yeah, so we first met a few weeks after his appointment, and we talked very, you know, openly. My impression was he was a very honest man. He is a very honest man, and he jumped right into his job and was trying to do whatever was possible to help the two communities talk to each other again. That's the first thing, and to regain mutual trust. He was doing that in an honest and courageous way. So myself and many of my colleagues at AJC simply admired his involvement.
Mm. And it's a difficult thing to do, isn't it? It's not everybody can do this role, because there are very strong feelings on, if you have to put sides onto this issue, if you have to put world Jewry on one side and you have to put a very significant section of Polish society on the other, and both sides feel very, very strongly about this, and to get two sides who feel that way to talk and to understand each other and to try and find common ground, not everybody can actually do that.
It definitely is a difficult job. On the one hand, you represent your government. On the other hand, you have to have the trust of your interlocutors from the Jewish community, individuals and those representing big organizations. So it definitely takes a lot of dedication, a lot of heart. You have to put your heart into this job and also have the necessary skills, a lot of knowledge, history. I'm not sure you would say history first and foremost, but there's a lot of history at stake. And a lot of the discussions are, you know, it starts with history or it ends with history. So that plus what you call emotional intelligence. And I think Mr. Nowak has all of that.
The phrase emotional intelligence I find very interesting, because when I met him and when I have since spoken to others who met him from his visit to London last month, I would have used the phrase humility, but I think emotional intelligence perhaps expresses it better. It's that capacity to listen and to understand and to be there to have things said to you, which you absorb, rather than having to immediately present a rebuttal.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, the difference between simply talking to someone or communicating something to somebody or an audience and engaging in a dialogue, that's a huge difference. And he could do the latter. He was a true man of dialogue. He has the ability to listen And he's also creative in the way he engages in conversations.
He also appeared not to talk very much about his successes, or at least promote them too much. But one of them that he mentioned when I spoke to him was about Poland's adopting the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism across government, which wasn't trumpeted. They did speak very loudly about it, but it has been adopted. Whether it's put into practice is another question, perhaps. But that would count as one of his achievements. Would you agree?
That's definitely an achievement. It is also an issue that there has been quite a debate about the particular legal formula that, it was not even legal, the particular formula that Poland chose to communicate that from its perspective or for the Polish government, the definition is important. So it was initially adopted by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance back in 2016. And all member countries were invited to adopt the definition domestically. Of course, it's a legally non-binding definition, but it can be used as a practical tool. So what Poland did was it announced that it endorses the definition. AGC would rather use the words endorse. And the difference between endorsing and adopting would be what we feel is lacking is actually implementation, what you've rightly mentioned. And AGC has recently partnered with a few other organizations and scholars, and we have drafted a number of recommendations based on the very recent EU strategy for combating anti-Semitism and fostering Jewish life. And one of the recommendations is exactly the implementation of the working definition of anti-Semitism. But the first step has been made, and the credit goes to Mr. Nowak.
And he also had lots of interesting ideas about, because in normal times when we aren't in a pandemic, people, lots of Jews from around the world, people from Israel in particular, will be visiting Auschwitz to understand that very, very difficult part of Jewish and world history. But one criticism that could perhaps be understood from some Polish quarters is that that is all that is done when a visit is made to Poland. Lots of groups will fly in to the nearest airport, visit Auschwitz, and then leave without perhaps engaging with the rest of Poland. And he had some ideas, I'm not sure if he ever spoke to you about them, about trying to bring together Jewish, Israeli, and Polish young people together while they're visiting Poland, so that there could be a little bit more of an understanding of the events that happened and what kind of people live in the area now.
Yeah, we did speak about it, and this kind of an idea has been circulating for years. I think it's somewhere in the early 2000s that people in Poland, including, if not in particular in the Jewish community in Poland, felt the need for Jewish groups and Israeli groups coming to Poland to engage with them, the Polish Jews living in Poland, as well as non-Jewish Poles. So there have been discussions with American organizations and organizers of the International March of the Living and the Israeli Minister of Education. There has been some progress made over the years, but there definitely is still some room for improvement. And Jarosław Nowak did think that this is one of the areas that he wanted to be more involved and to bring Israeli and Jewish partners to the table.
Is that the kind of area, do you think, personally, you as Sebastian Ryak, that perhaps world Jewry could accept that there is more that it could do to try and understand Poland today?
There is definitely more that could be done. You have sometimes groups that only come to Poland for a day or two and visit Auschwitz or Auschwitz and maybe a few other camps. It's definitely an important part of Jewish history. But I think it's worthwhile to look at that history from a wider perspective and also appreciate the heritage of Polish Jewry. And to you and me, it seems obvious that the Holocaust is just one chapter, a very important, a very painful chapter, but there are other chapters in the history of Polish or European Jews. So I think we should also look at this through the lens of this wider perspective.
And I just wonder, given that this dialogue that existed has been cut short, do you hope, believe, expect that the Polish government will be appointing a successor to Jarosław Nowak?
I hope. I think it's more than just a hope. To my knowledge, the position will be kept, and we should learn in the coming days who the successor will be.
Sebastian Ryak, the acting director of the American Jewish Committee, Central Europe. So, some achievements during a short tenure and the hope of a successor in the role before long. But given the circumstances that led to Noack's dismissal, some believe that successor won't be nearly as forthcoming. One person who believes that is Ruth Deitch, Baroness Deitch, whose family is from Poland and who's been a leading voice calling on Poland to confront its history. When I spoke to her this week, I first asked how she responded to Mr. Noack's dismissal.
My first reaction was disappointment, because it did seem to me from the conversations I had with him that he was forward-looking and constructive about restitution and commemoration and links between young Jewish people visiting Auschwitz and young Polish people. And my second reaction was a sort of unsurprising dismay at the Polish government. It was rather too good to be true. I'm afraid that to sack a newly appointed minister whose special responsibility was to create good relations with Jews in the diaspora is something of an own goal and a contradiction. It has done damage to that little green shoot of a better relationship between Poland and the Jews of the diaspora. It's a very sad story. But there's another much older, much deeper issue, which is this, that alone in Europe, Poland is the only nation that has not made any arrangements for restitution, commemoration, or compensation for the property that 3 million Jewish Polish victims of the Holocaust left behind. Now, there are probably not that many direct survivors left. And note too that in what I say, this includes non-Jewish claimants. There are very many non-Jewish claimants whose property was seized by the communist Polish government after the war, and they've never had it returned to them either. But all over Poland, there are properties that were Jewish factories, Jewish homes, Jewish synagogues, and so on. And the claimants are around, or their descendants are, and Poland will not acknowledge or help this. And this is despite Council of Europe resolutions, European Parliament resolutions. It's despite the fact that nearly every other country in modern Europe made some sort of arrangement with the heirs to those properties. And it's despite the fact that Poland was originally only supposed to be admitted to the European Union if it did make restitution. And that requirement, sadly, was dropped at the last minute. And year after year, people are questioning Poland. There's a Terezin declaration. There was a Terezin conference about restitution, and Poland rather left it after the first meeting. They see it as a question of avoiding blame. And this ties into the other very difficult issue. Poland has a law, which originally was criminal but is now civil, saying that nobody must associate Poland with the war crimes of the Nazis during the war. And this has struck a chord, because there are people around who would say that Poland was complicit, that Poland knew that there were many concentration camps there, that there were indeed slaughters by Polish people of Jewish residents, which had been well documented, Jedwabne, for example. And that has meant that historians feel they can't tell the truth about what happened in the Second World War. So it's a really bad situation in Poland. No restitution for property, a clamping down on speaking the truth about what happened.
One of the other things that Mr. Noack said when I was speaking to him, and he may have mentioned this to you as well, because I know he met you only a few days after he met me, he was talking about the difficulties in trying to bring the Polish people along with everyone as these conversations happen between Poland's government and with world Jewry. And as one example of the hideous complications that this case has, he told me about the case of the city of Warsaw, which was, of course, levelled during the Second World War. And he said after the war, the authorities,
the Polish authorities, which were Soviet, ran a public donation campaign to rebuild Warsaw. And it was, in fact, a mandatory campaign. It was mandatory taxation. And he said, how do you explain to the descendants of Poles who paid that tax under the Soviets that now they have to also contribute to crimes that were made under a former occupation under the Nazis? He wasn't saying it was a rebuttal argument. He was simply saying that it was just another factor in the hideous complications of Poland and the story of Poland since the Second World War. It is hideously complicated, isn't it?
It's not that complicated when you look what other countries have done. No one's asking for Polish residents to be evicted from their properties. Poland has actually done quite well economically in recent years. There are shadows hanging over the title of various properties that were Jewish. And at the very least, Poland could make steps to commemorate who lived there. The Germans have this system called Stolperstein, where they put little plaques in the ground to show who lived there. Now, even if Poland says, well, we can't pay out money, they could actually put a fund together in the way that Austria did. There probably isn't time to tell you about that. But at the very least, they could commemorate those properties. I mean, I've been back to my father's village, Ustrzyki Dolny, tiny little place in the far southeast corner of Poland. And the mayor of the village showed me the house where my grandfather lived. They know perfectly well who was there. And he also drove me out a few miles to show me the oil refinery, which my grandfather had once owned, which was lying derelict. So there's a great deal that Poland could do. They could also help people who are trying to use the courts to establish claims to property. Most of the claimants can't do that because they haven't got any documents. To imagine, as the Polish judicial system does, that people who are marched away to concentration camps somehow preserved and handed over title deeds is ridiculous. But Poland could also help rather than hinder people who go to courts to claim. They could commemorate. They could, in some cases, pay a token restitution. They could be helpful. And they're doing none of those things.
Would you say that Mr. Nowak was a victim of politics, of contemporary Polish politics?
Yes, I'm afraid so, because he did seem like a breath of fresh air. He spoke obvious common sense. And I think it's very sad that he's been dismissed. And we await anxiously to see if someone else is appointed in his place. Because all over the world, there are descendants of Polish Jews. And it really would be very heartening if someone unhindered could do that job.
That was exactly going to be my last question, because the Polish Foreign Ministry haven't answered the questions that we put to them, but we gather that the position of plenipotentiary for engagement with the Jewish community, which is the formal title that the Foreign Ministry uses, that position is being kept open, and a successor is due to be named quite soon, within weeks, it may well be. Is that something you'd welcome? Would you want to meet them as well?
Well, it depends. Well, of course I would, but it depends who it is. It might be someone who's been vetted as being timid and not going against the Polish government. You know, all in all, Poland is in big trouble at the moment with the European Union, with its crackdown on judicial independence, on freedom of the press, on women's rights. And not a happy place to be at the moment. And having a fearless minister in that position would have been a little candle of light in the darkness. The other thing is, I think there are some things that the British government could do to push the issue along. I keep raising it in Parliament. Britain could raise this issue at the Council of Europe again. Britain might have legislation like the Americans do. The Americans have an act called Justice for Uncompensated Survivors. And this requires a report to the American Congress every year on progress with restitution. Also every year, there is a meeting between Britain and Poland called the Belvedere Forum to discuss Anglo-Polish relations. And I keep asking that instead of a sort of backslapping, you know, aren't we jolly good friends meeting, they could raise some of these difficult issues, but they never do. So I think it's time that Britain actually faced up to Poland not just on the Jewish issue, but all the other things that have gone terribly wrong in Poland in recent years.
The crossbench peer, Ruth Deitch. We contacted the Polish embassy in London for comment. They referred us to the Polish Foreign Ministry in Warsaw, who told us that they do not comment on human resources matters. The dismissal of Jarosław Marek-Nowak caused a stir in domestic Polish politics, but will it have long-lasting effects? Let's go back to Karol Datmaros, the Polish journalist we spoke to earlier.
I think we've got used to it because the dynamics of Polish politics is so high that, as I wrote to you in one of our emails, that the story of Mr. Nowak dismissal was a breaking news Monday morning. Now it's Wednesday morning and nobody remembers.
It may well be that Polish policy towards issues that are important to Jews will not change under this government. There is an election that must be held by next year, but Poland is a deeply divided society on many issues, and an election isn't likely to resolve everything.
The constitution term is 2023, so next year in autumn, this is the date. But even this week, in one of the interviews for the right-wing weekly magazine, Mr. Kaczyński, which is the leader of the Law and Justice Party, said that you cannot exclude anything regarding the date of elections. On the divisions, I don't think that anything can cool down the temperature. 3 years ago, exactly 3 years ago, the mayor of Gdańsk has been killed, which was a big shock for anybody. It was like 2 weeks of calm and then everything came back. So, as I said, the dynamics of Polish politics is so high, the temperature is so high, so you cannot... it's interesting for us, for journalists, but I think for the average viewer or listener, people can be somehow tired of everything.
And that's it for this edition of the Jewish News Podcast in association with Genesis Philanthropy Group. Through its partners, GPG is working to support the growth of Jewish community life in the UK and worldwide. To find out more, visit www.gpg.org. All that's left for me to do is to thank Karol Datmaros, Sebastian Rayak and Ruth Deitch, Leo Mendel and Adam Bradley for their work producing this episode, and to you for listening. Please do subscribe to the show in your podcast app. That way you'll hear any previous episode or be informed when new episodes become available. Don't forget that for more information on any of the stories that we've featured, you can always go to jewishnews.co.uk, and if you'd like to comment, then we'd love to hear from you on editorial@jewishnews.co.uk. From me, Michael Daventry, do join us next time here on the Jewish News Podcast. Goodbye.